Good afternoon and welcome to another series of Telling It Like It Is webinars hosted by ourselves. I'm Sin Sekon, MD of Legal for Landlords, and in a nutshell, for those on the call who don't know, we specialise within the private rented sector, helping agents and landlords save money, make their lives easier, make them more efficient overall, and trying to educate them along the way by providing referencing, insurances and legal services. For those of you new to a webinar, you can hear me. I cannot hear you. At any time, if you want to ask questions, we'll have a Q&A session at the end of this as well. However, on the right-hand side there, there's a tab for questions. So you can put your questions in, type them in there. We'll try and answer as many as possible. For those that we don't answer, we will follow up individually on every single question that we can't answer in the timescale that we have or during the brief webinar. And also a quite common question is there'll always be a copy of this webinar and recording emailed to everybody after this as well. And for those of you who are registered to us, whether it's letting agents and landlords, for letting agents, if you log into your My Native section and go to the Marketing Resource Center, you can access all our webinars for the whole of the year and obviously any other types of marketing information. And for landlords, those of you who are registered with us, with ourselves, you can also log into the My Native section and listen to these webinars, past and present, at any time. Okay, so this is going to be between 20 to 30 minutes, short and snappy, legal tips all around for landlords, obviously for letting agents as well, and best practices in and around the latest and greatest for tenant arrears or any types of issues around that. We're not going to go into any type of legislation or tenancy agreements or anything arduous or boring, to be honest. We're going to keep it smart, simple, relative as well. Okay, brief agenda. We're going to go through some stats as of date, how to spot the signs. A new topic, a cause for concern. Obviously, we're 12 months in now from the Deregulation Act, which came into force last year of October. We've seen a major repercussions on that, and we're going to go into that. Quick summary, questions and answer session. And then for everybody who obviously stays on the call, there's a prize giveaway at the end. And again, to enter your answers for the questions on the prize giveaway, simply submit it as you do for a question. Okay, latest and greatest stats. So, obviously anything that we quote in terms of sources, if anybody wants to know where the sources of that information is, then just please email in, and I'll respond to the follow-up emails that come in the back of it. But here's some to kick us off. So over 1 in 3 landlords face rental arrears at some point. Now, what we've tried to do is define this into rental arrears, and we're talking anything over a month to 2 months arrears, so 30 to 60 days. Obviously all of us will face arrears at some point, but it might only be a couple of days, but we're talking here of anything that could potentially turn serious. So we're looking at 31 plus days of 1 in 3 of us will face it at some point in time. 22% face other types of tenant issues, whether it's antisocial behaviour or any sort of criminal activity, drug farms, cannabis farms, whatever it may be, noisy neighbours, noisy tenants, any type of parties or discos, we have it all. The other surprising one was obviously from our stats as well, the average rental arrears before we're contacted is 3 months. Now, we're assuming that the landlord, managing agent, obviously followed some certain processes, they tried to do X, Y, and Z in order to prevent this from happening or getting to this stage. That could drag on. You could listen to several excuses or several payment plans or promises, you know, hence the reason for this 3 month delay. But it's around 3.2, 3.3 months until actually we're contacted, for example, you know, I need help, can you help me in X, Y, and Z? This is my scenario, this is my story. Do a case review and we can take it forward. So that's a long time if you think about it. 3 months, average rent in the UK, in London, £800-900 plus, outside of London, £650-700. So we're looking at £2,000 to £3,000 of rent arrears already before the point of contacting ourselves. Fourth point, tenant demand is obviously at an all-time high. Obviously, finding that right tenant that's suitable for your property is obviously a different story. Obviously, supply is not met by the same. What we're seeing now since the horrible B-word Brexit there's a slight trend increase in that tenants are staying longer in properties. Over the last, we haven't seen the renewal take-up rate is not being as high as what it was as in compared to last year. So we're seeing tenants staying 3 to 4 months longer. Obviously, we haven't got enough stats on that at this moment in time. However, the renewal rate is decreasing, and the forecast to show that is that tenants could potentially stay longer, 3 to 5 months on average longer than before Brexit. And we're assuming it's down to uncertainty. We're not going to go into that today, but there's lots of factors in and around that. Obviously, rents are increasing as well. Inflation's up. So there's lots of economic factors to justify those figures. And legislation. There's been lots of major updates, and the biggest one is Deregulation Act. We have covered Deregulation Act 6 months on from when it came in, early in the year, so you can actually get that one from the recordings of the webinar. So we've done a whole piece on deregulation, what it's all about, how it impacts you, what you've got to do, and procedures that you've got to put in place moving forward. And it's all about prevention. Everything that we try and educate our client base on, our landlords or agents, it's education from prevention of the worst case scenario. We're trying to minimise that risk as much as possible. This is what you need to be doing. Obviously, deregulation is such a core part of this now when it comes to any type of tenancy agreement, arrears related or tenant issues. So dereg's been a big one. Rights event was another one in February. And then there's a few other stipulations affecting landlords, but we're talking here about rentals and tenancies. Okay. So some typical spotting the signs to help in order for it not to go towards a legal issue is things to look out for in terms of renting a property or speaking to those tenants. The first one's typical payment up front. Be extra wary of people or tenants that might say, pay 6 months up front, 12 months up front, 18 months up front, 24 months up front. Obviously, unless they're really wealthy or they've got great savings or a great career or they're a celebrity, whatever it may be, and there's reason to justify that. And obviously, there's not a problem, but we'd say definitely be wary of people that are trying to pay up front, that avoid the checks, because obviously there's a reason for that. So be wary of that. Second point, unsure about the employment or previous address. We do 5 to 6 points of checks on the employment and the previous check on the previous addresses side of things. If there's questions about that from the applicant to you, then obviously questions should be raised. Question marks should be raised. Fraudulent pay slips. Obviously, there's technology and software out there to obviously manipulate and do everything that you can to justify this, but you've got to be wary of pay slips as well. And then obviously check bank accounts to make sure those payments and the pay slips actually justify the bank accounts and statements. So just that due diligence around the front end. Huge savings but no income, where those savings come from. Working with family members, then mum and dad could be the directors, and the daughter or son could work for them and obviously manipulate the wages, or just be conscious of that relationship as well. And then another big one is self-employed for less than 12 months, so you can get around the employment references. So these are the top tips from our referencing side of things, that if we be more diligent, we're more cautious at the front end, covering these angles, these bases, asking these extra questions, because on one respect, as a landlord or a managing agent, yes, we do want a tenant in that property because we want to avoid rental voids. We want to get somebody in there. We want to help to cover that mortgage payment that we're making on that buy-to-let property. So on one respect, we want a tenant in fast to avoid that from happening, because it's costing the landlord, it's costing ourselves. But secondly, what we really need to, the focus really needs to be on how to maximise that relationship with the right tenant, how to avoid any issues happening whatsoever, and to have the best tenant experience possible for them to obviously then refer you onwards or wherever it may be. But you don't want any headaches, so getting it right at the beginning, spotting those signs, and obviously moving forward with the right tenant. We said it before, tenant demand's at the highest now, so it's not like you haven't got a choice. There will be several tenants fighting for each property, and that's the reality of the situation of the current marketplace at the moment. So further signs to spot, checking the job roles of the guarantors just to see if they can actually justify that income. worst case scenario, if the guarantor, if it fell back on the guarantors, the guarantor's off, you have to pay for it. What we do get a lot of guarantors who are just totally unknown of their responsibilities and they've just signed for anything. So ideally, agents, landlords, speak to the guarantors, let them know what they're signing up for, to help them with the scenario, because a lot of guarantors just sign it just to help the individual out. An individual wanting to rent a large property, what would be the need for a single person occupant wanting to rent a large property? Do they want to sublet? Do they want to do something else in that property? Drug farms, whatever it may be, question marks again get asked. We suggest having a quick glance on social media. I think everyone does that in the HR world now for recruitment. You know, why wouldn't you do that for a tenant? Mobile numbers for all referees. Obviously, mobile numbers, referees. This obviously helps. Try and get as much information as possible in the background. Multiple or serial renter. Obviously, look at their history in terms of renting. Ask those questions. And if the applicant asks a hell of a lot of questions that are really unnecessary, and you think basic questions that, again, alarm bells. It's like, again, when it comes to recruitment with a CV, and you offer somebody a job potentially, and they're asking a lot of random questions, you're thinking, oh, why is this person asking so many questions? It's the same with the rental process. Why would they ask him basic questions? You've already said you can't have a pet, and why would you be trying to get around? Well, you know, how often do you come around and check the property? Would you give me notice to come and check the property? So any question marks like that, you've just got to really be diligent. And again, it's that pretense. Get somebody in, rent my property out fast, get money in the bank account, that can help me pay the bills. You want to get the right tenant in. So coming on to the major cause for concern. Now, it's been 12 months since the Regulation Act came in. Now, this is to do with serving the correct Section 21 notice, because that's been updated. Serving it within a set time scale, and obviously you've got a duty bound to repairs. You're also linked in there with gas safety certificates and energy performance certificates and the government document, the guide to rent. And what's the worrying fact is that I think almost 3 in 4 cases that we receive and a free case review from agents and from landlords is how unaware they are of the Regulation Act and the impact that it has. It's again, it's all about getting this right first time. Obviously, we had this over 12 months, 12 to 15 months plus with prescribed information. Obviously, that came in for one case in terms of law. We rolled this out across the whole UK, and obviously agents and landlords then really start to do it. The deposit companies start to really jump on it as well. So that was great. But what's happened now with deregulation came in, it's bolstered on top of prescribed information. So Section 21 notices were updated. There's a new Section 21 document. It's 3 pages long. We hope everybody has that right, Section 21. Now, Section 8 hasn't got anything to do with the Deregulation Act. However, there was a new Section 8 document as well, which is obviously down to 18, 19 plus grounds, lots of variations, mainly to do with rent arrears, not just about getting the possession of the property back like a Section 21 is. A new Section 8 came in as well under the radar, so there's a new Section 8 template document as well. So lots of other companies out there say, not just law firms, may not be up to date with this new legislation, or might not have new copies of these notices. Now, in the odd scenario, if you're using old notices for Section 8 in particular, it could be at judge's discretion whether they accept that or not. But obviously, this is all about getting it right first time. You don't want to open up any cans of worms to have that tenant situation go wrong based on you not having the correct notice. Gas safety, EPCs. Gas safety is just a standard obligation. Every year, get your gas safety checked and done and produce that certificate. Let the tenant see a copy in your way. Energy performance certificates as well. You need these in place for every rented property. This all may seem like basic stuff, but these have been around for a while. It's just, again, best practice, and it forms part of the Deregulation Act now as well. The Guide to Rent is a government document. You download it from the online, the website, or we can provide that for you. And it's a guide to rent, basic Q&A guideline for the tenants. The tenant needs to see a copy. A lot of landlords or agents do not give this copy to tenants. So all any type of issue or problem or scenario that you may find yourself in, you relocated to another country, you want to come back, you want to come back into that property that you've rented out because you didn't want to sell it, whatever it may be, whatever the reason, you need to make sure you conform to the Deregulation Act. It's really important to do with Section 21, more importantly as well. So I know it's 12 months on. The impact that that's had on ourselves is tenfold increase in admin and paperwork for our legal team. The advice, obviously, we're giving out is seriously questioned over the last 12 months. Obviously, we're involved with ALA a lot as well. There's only so much teams can do in terms of protecting, in terms of the property management side. Obviously, landlords, it's hard for you to keep up to date unless you're a professional landlord. You're on webinars like this. You're on lots of different news sites or forums, or you go to landlord exhibitions or conferences or the ALA exhibitions that are hosted across the UK. So there's only so much that you can do from a landlord's perspective. Same on the agent side of things. This is why we partner with so many agents in the UK to help them with these kind of things as well, because ultimately an agent wants to look after the tenant, look after the landlord, and advertise that property as best as possible. Everyone's running their businesses, everyone's involved in what they do. Some legislation slips in, some doesn't, and this is what the deregulation impact, the Deregulation Act and the impact that that's had on landlords and agents has been huge, and I don't think that's really been realised in the marketplace yet, and we're still going to see a lot of issues happen for the next 12 to 18 months plus based on this. It's like when deposit protection came in. We still see issues with deposit protection now, even though that came in several years ago, where deposits aren't registered correctly or they're not registered within the correct time period. So a huge cause for concern there, and I think it's going to be a continuing future issue unless everybody's educated as best as possible on that. So the typical process would be, rent's not in, you panic, what am I going to do? This is from a landlord's perspective potentially, or a more professional approach would be, we'll phone that tenant, we'll write a letter to them, we will text them, we'll find out the situation, try and resolve it amicably, set up a payment plan, find out what those reasons were. Worst case scenario, then you start moving into the server warning letter, a pre-court action letter, for example. Failing in response to that, legal notices, Section 8 to 21s, once they've expired, possession orders, bailiffs, options for recovery. That whole process from start to finish, from that moment that rent arrears goes into place, could be 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 15 months. And you've got to ensure that you follow the Deregulation Act, your tenancy agreement's up to date, and you follow the Housing Act. Absolute worst case scenario, on average, landlords contact ourselves or agents 2 to 3 months down the line. You've had X amount of loss to rent arrears. Then on top of that, there's the non-conformance with compliance that could have a knock-on effect as well, that could double or triple that time. And then there's the whole court process with possession, housing shortages, bailiffs, councils, shortage of actual houses to put tenants in, to rehouse them. That whole process, as you can imagine, could be 6, 9, 12, 15, could be 2 years, potentially, absolute worst case scenario. You can't have your property back. You've got a tenant living there, and they could be in rent arrears, and you're paying double however many properties, mortgages you've got. So you've got to ask yourself, have I followed the Housing Act? Am I compliant? And can I afford to pay that mortgage on that property for at least a year? Absolute worst case scenario. And then obviously once that's done, then you assess an option to recovery. What's that tenant's lifestyle? What's their suitability? Do they work? Have they got a guarantor? Then you're assessing that whole path there of how best am I going to get my money back for the rent arrears I've lost or the legal expenses that I've incurred. What's the likelihood of me doing that? So nobody wants to be in this situation, and it is total last worst case scenario. So I'm going to run through a brief summary and tips here. So majority of agents in the UK and landlords that we speak to and that we know reference their tenants poorly, and that's obviously imperative. Trying to get the crystal ball out, we're trying to We're trying to prevent from anything apart from accident, sickness, and unemployment. Do the best we can to vet that tenant before they move in. It's imperative. Use your common sense. Think about all the tips that we discussed at the beginning. Think medium term to long term. Obviously, property investment is a business. It's not a short term fix. It's not a short term strategy, unless you're obviously buying and selling properties fast. It's medium to long term. Obviously, we've said tenants are renting longer now as well. Rents are slowly increasing. Inflation, obviously, interest rates are low. There's new investment coming to the market. So it's a very interesting marketplace, as it always is. There's insurance policies, products out there like rent and legal protection for extra peace of mind. I mean, your average rent and legal protection insurance policy is, you know, say £160 a year. That's just over £10 a month to protect you from all that. It covers your legals, it covers your rent. I think the awareness of that product in the marketplace is one in five. So we'd say 20%, 22% of landlords in our client base actually are aware of that and they have that in place. There is another cut-down version of a legal-only policy which doesn't cover the rent as well, which, you know, I think it's just over £5 per month. Meet your tenants face-to-face where possible. Obviously, if they're in your catchment area, then obviously we'd strongly advise that you meet them face-to-face, even if you've asked an agent to manage that property for you. Always meet them face-to-face as well. Act swiftly. Don't let time build up. Obviously, three months is a bit excessive. I'm sure there's been many tenant excuses that you've heard. But act swiftly. Your property investment, it's a business. It's not a charity. And, you know, you've got mortgages to pay and you've got bills to pay as well. And always see eviction as a last case resort. People sometimes jump to it too fast or try and do things in the illegal way, in the non-compliant way. Always see it as a last case resort, but act swiftly. Make your decisions up. You know straight away, we're not going to get this rent here. They told me X, Y, and Z. Let's just start the legal process off anyway. And if something happens, then it happens. If not, we've always got the backup that we've already started the process. I think there's one last point, actually, that I want to put in here before the summary, and that's the relationship that you have with your tenants. Now, we work with several thousand agents across the UK. For the great agents that we work with, there's always a relationship in place with the tenants. Now, there's a hell of a lot of professional landlords that we work with as well. So when you receive your rent from that tenant, you know, drop them a quick text, give them a quick phone call, you know, drop them an email, make sure there's some sort of communication, say thank you for your rent, great, you know, you paid on time, superb, however it may be in terms of non-conformity. And then you're doing that month one, month two, month three, you're having a quarterly visit or you're having a six-monthly visit, you're having a quick 20-minute pop round, have a chat, have a look around the place, make sure it links into the inventory that you did at the beginning. It's just that relationship is key. If a tenant thinks they've got a relationship with the landlord or with the managing agent and there's some back and to, there's some correspondence, then you are obviously 10 times more likely to find out if there's going to be any types of issues or any type of problems if they think there's that open dialogue between yourselves. If there's no dialogue and it's literally collecting rent, no contact, no communication, comes to 12 months renewal, here's your renewal, Mr. Joe Bloggs, sign here, thank you very much, you know, thank you for another 12 months and you're away. You know, it's all about that relationship. When they move in, give them the chocolates, give them the wine, the champagne, whatever. When it comes to renewal, thank you for your 12 months, thank you for being a great tenant. Here's some more chocolates, here's some champagne, thank you very much. Just keep that dialogue open. If you've got one property, two properties, three, five, ten, however many it is, have dialogue, have communication, email, face-to-face if possible, or verbally. I think just keeping those communication lines open is key, really. And it minimises that risk as well. And if they can't pay, then you'd rather them say, listen, it's Christmas, I want to treat my kids. Do you mind if I don't pay your rent on the 27th of December and I pay it the second week of January? You might say yes. Whereas you'd rather them have that conversation with you first rather than nothing at all. Okay, so questions and answers. I'm just going to pop over. There's quite a few here. Okay, so there's quite a lot of questions. Thank you for all of them. Okay, let's pick this one. As a landlord, what's a good rule of thumb for savings account from worst case scenario? Interesting question. Everyone's going to be different on this, and it depends all about what your income is, what your disposable income is, what your mortgage value is, and what that yield is. So, for myself personally, what we say is try and live on best practices. Have around 4 to 6 months of rent should be considered as your zero balance. So, if you rent £5,000 a month, let's say for example, in an ideal world, you'd have £30,000 as your in your bank account. Dedicated to this one property as a zero balance. And there's a reason why the perception of landlords is that we're all tight, and it's because we should be thinking of worst case scenario, and we should be managing our money well, and obviously that's just the responsibilities of being a landlord. But alternatively as well, a lot of landlords utilise letting agents, and obviously we partner with a lot of agents across the UK, and letting agents offer a let-only service, part-managed, fully managed, the whole lot. Obviously, there's a cost involved. You've got to weigh up that cost. Can I do it myself? Is this property my doorstep? Am I a professional landlord? Do I 100% know what I'm doing? Well, you may as well do it yourself. If there's any questions or any doubt, or you don't want any hassle or anything to do with repairs, then give it to an agent to manage. And they'll do, obviously, if they're all accredited, or they're really professional and they've got good feedback or good reviews or the word of mouth, then obviously give them a try as well. Next question, what's the average eviction timescale in the UK? Obviously a really hard question to answer. Averages range from 5 to 6 months from serving of notices. It depends on where you are in the UK, the county court, the time of the year. So that's a rough guide as an average. Since the end of September, we've been giving court hearing dates out to December now. So, end of September, notice has expired. We've moved ahead on possession. Courts have given us possession dates. So we've basically December's pretty much filling up now for us ever since September came. So a lot of courts have amnesties as well, where there's no bailiffs, so there's no possession order hearings as well. So timing comes into it now. So obviously, towards the end of the year, you've got to really act fast, otherwise you could be waiting until January for that to happen for obvious reasons, and then you're looking at February and March. So 5 to 6 months average. Linked into that one, which is a good question. What's the longest eviction we've ever had? From memory, I wouldn't, without knowing in detail, speaking to the legal guys that are here at head office, I'd say easy 18 to 20 months of that tenant being in. And I remember this one, it was a couple of years ago, but we might have had a longer one now that's broken that record, but it was a very messy case. There was a lot of disrepair. There was a lot of false accusations. There was a lot of arguments and harassment orders and policing involved between the tenant and the landlord as well. So there was a lot of false information provided. So, yeah, really messy one. Another question, can you add administration fees to arrears when serving notices? I would say no, you can't do that. For rent arrears purposes, the rent must be outstanding. Assuming that you are looking to serve a notice, don't forget that these changed also slightly as well, so you have to use the right notices to ensure that that's the case. So a lot of tenancy agreements, there are some random clauses that we have seen that they want to add admin fees on, but you can't add admin fees on to justify rent arrears as well. Okay, simple one. How will I be able to get the new Section 8 and Section 21 documents? I run a letting agent's business. I'd just say contact our team for further information. We'll provide all the details at the end of this and obviously follow-up emails as well. Okay, let's see. I've got time for a couple more. Can I get my court costs back from the tenant? Yeah, there is a fixed amount that we can apply for court fees. Again, it's the discretion if they get approved or not at the court hearing. We also apply for arrears, as you can imagine, on absolutely everything as well when we go to court, and something called a Section 42 as well. So if we wanted to, we could move to a High Court enforcement as well, which is all the rage on the TVs at the moment with the High Court enforcement. They make it look easy on the TV that judges actually sign off in Section 42s immediately, but probably 1 in 20 will get signed off on a High Court enforcement. The other 19 or so will have to go through the standard county court bailiffs, which are obviously inundated, as you can imagine. Somebody's asked how much are our fees. All of our fees are low cost, fixed fee. There's various packages that we offer, but ultimately we offer a free advice line, free case reviews. So what we'd say first is contact our team. We'll give that free advice first, then we'll advise you on the best possible option moving forward. For all of our legal service and eviction services, we offer within that service, once we've done a successful case for you and it's moved forward, we offer free tenant referencing for two tenants as well, and a 12-month rent and legal protection as well as a thank you, and B, next time we're trying to do as best a job possible for you on the referencing, and then we'll offer you a 12-month rent and legal protection as well, so you don't have to go through that pain again. Is landlord contents insurance necessary in unfurnished properties? No, it's not necessary. Landlord insurance is not a mandatory product, like car insurance. A lot of mortgage providers would ask to see an insurance policy to cover your buy-to-let and contents if possible, but you'd be surprised how many landlords don't actually renew that moving forward as well. You know, the average rental property in the UK is £180,000, so you've got to ensure that you have that insured. That question is from David Rolfe. David, there's a lot of different types of tenants insurances as well that are available, so again, just contact our insurance team, and there's a product that we have for tenants that can actually protect your goods as well, which is becoming quite popular. So, yeah, we can help you on that one. Trying to look at those other questions. I've got time for the odd one. Yeah, somebody's put there has to be a balance with openness to the tenant. Of course there is. It's a two-way relationship, this. You know, you'd want that transparency, that visibility, that trust, that openness, that honesty, which is good people like you'd expect, but sometimes worst case scenario can change the mindset of that great tenant that you thought you had in the first place. Yeah, and there's a hell of a lot more coming in now, so thank you for all them, and hopefully I've right, okay, there's a lot more there, so hopefully we'll try and cover all of them as well. So yeah, keep them coming in. I'll leave this open as well for the next 5 to 10 minutes. So if there's any further questions that we haven't covered today, obviously, and that you want to know, just go to the question box on the side, fill in those questions, and we'll take it from there. For the 98% of you who've stayed on the call, obviously, thank you, and I hope it's been useful. The only reason we do these webinars is, one, obviously, to educate, and the main driver is because of demand. We've had a lot of demand for certain topics and subjects every single month. So if there's any Q&As or any further topics that you'd like, then please let us know. You know, they're only 25 to 30 minutes. Obviously, it covers a lot of people's lunches, and we can cover them that way. And we're looking to do repeats of these as well in the evenings, or just to log in to pick them up as well. Prize giveaway is a bottle of champagne. So obviously, whoever we pick for the winner for this, our marketing team will contact you. Just provide your address, and we will send you a bottle of champagne if we've not got your address already. And then as a thank you back to us, just please send us a picture, and we'll pop it on social media if you don't mind. If not, no problem whatsoever. Okay, so the question is, now I did ask this in a previous webinar earlier on in the year, so what's the best excuse you've had for a tenant to delay or not to pay your rent? So it's quite an interesting one. It brings a few laughs and jokes. But then on a serious point, it does bring a few different angles that we've not seen before as well. So if you can answer this question on the box on the side in the questions, and I'll leave this open for 5 to 10 minutes for you all to do that. But otherwise, here's our free phone advice line number. We do have an old 333 number as well, but 0800 is free for mobiles. And then an advice, generic advice at email group as well. So a copy of these slides and information obviously can be logged into and downloaded. And we'll also send an email copy out as well to everybody. So I'm Sim Sekon. I'd like to say thank you for your time. Let's check the record stats. Okay, so 433 people stayed on. So thank you very much to all of you guys. And by all means, any other topics or subjects, please let us know. Forward this on to any of your friends and colleagues as well if you think it's useful. And thank you very much, and continue to ask your questions and best excuses for tenants. I'll speak to you next month. Thank you.